Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, I have a real question to kick us off, so I wouldn't mind hearing a couple of answers. What is prayer?
Talking to God.
Don't you hate it when the first person just gives the right answer? And I don't want to go any further. Welcome to church. Really, like a good, simple definition of prayer is talking to God. Now, I've got a rhetorical question. That means don't call out an answer this time. What makes for good conversation? If prayer is talking to God, what makes for good conversation? Firstly, a couple of things that make for bad conversation. Simply focusing on a to-do list, whinging, talking about yourself all the time. I mean, do you have anyone in your life that whenever they phone and you look at who's calling and you see their name, you think, what do they want now? They're pretty good at downloading their to-do list to you. Is there anyone in your life that when you engage with them, it's mostly about their complaints? Is there anyone in your life that when you talk and you share an experience, they always have to give their experience back? They're painful people, aren't they? Now, we're good at spotting other people's bad conversation techniques. How do we go with recognizing our bad conversations with God? For instance, is a majority of your prayers uploading your to-do list for God to do? Is a majority of your prayers offloading everything that's going wrong in your life to God? Is a majority of your prayers talking about yourself and your needs and not a whole lot of talk about God and His greatness? If prayer really is talking to God, then we should aim for more than to-do lists and whinging and self-reflection. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that it is wrong to give God our to-do list, to ask God for things. I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to offload on God, if you like, and to let Him know our needs. What I am saying is that our prayers should consist of more than to-do lists, whinging, and self-reflection. God is not our butler, nor therapist. God, well, He's our Father in heaven. In the passage today, I hope you got it open, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And it would be helpful for us to actually work through every clause that Jesus teaches us. That would be a good thing to do, and we did it back in 2017. But for this morning, what I'm going to do is walk through Jesus' teaching on prayer under three headings. Firstly, pattern, not magical incantation. Secondly, God is God, I am not, and that is good. And then thirdly, the purpose of prayer. That's where we're headed this morning. And so firstly, pattern, not magical incantation. Read from verse 9 with me. We're just going to focus on these verses. Matthew 6, verse 9, pray, and this is Jesus teaching how to pray. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be holy. Your name be so other that we recognize that you're God and we're not. Hallowed be your name. Your name be holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. First thing to note, Jesus began this teaching with, pray then like this. Pray then like this. Jesus did not say, pray these exact words. Jesus is teaching us how to pray, not exactly what to pray. Jesus is teaching us a pattern for prayer, not a magical incantation. Now, many of us have memorized these words, haven't we? And a little bit extra that if you've got a Bible like mine, it's down in a footnote. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen. Many of us have memorized this and we call it the Lord's Prayer. I regularly pray this prayer word for word. I think it's good for us to do. But know this. Jesus wants us to use these words to shape and inform and enhance our prayer life. There's a lot of talk in the sporting world at the moment about muscle memory. You know, an elite cricketer cannot overthink every shot as the ball is coming down at 150 kilometres per hour. They need to be able to respond. Check out day one highlights from the fourth test. Sam Constance, if you want to check me out on that. They spend hours in the nets building up muscle memory to be able to play the shot. Applying muscle memory to prayer. By all means, memorize the Lord's Prayer. But treat your memorizing and reciting as getting ready for prayer in the spiritual battle of life. Remember, Jesus has given us a pattern for prayer, not a magical incantation. What might that look like? Well, take the first clause from verse 9. Our Father in heaven. When you're feeling distant from God, pray to your Father. Pray to your Father. You have your Father's ear. Talk to him. God, I feel distant from you. You feel distant from me. Allow the phrase to build and enhance your prayer. And as James chapter 4 verse 8 promises, as you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. When you're desperate, when you're pretty convinced there's no way forward and you're desperate, don't simply pray a magical incantation. Allow your will be done on earth as in heaven to enhance and inform your prayer. Maybe slow down in that moment and remind yourself of other scriptures. Romans 8. Nothing in all creation can separate you from God. Allow the phrase to build your prayer. Maybe 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Allow the phrase to build your prayer. And as we memorize the entire Lord's Prayer, we will have muscle memory that is guaranteed to inform our prayers in everything that life will throw at us. As we remember, what we traditionally call the Lord's Prayer, it's not a magical incantation. It's Jesus giving us a pattern for prayer. To our second point, God is God, I am not, that is good. God is God, I am not, that is good. Say it with me. God is God, I am not, that is good. Brother, sister, let that truth shape every moment of every day. Another way I like to say it is that we are made by God for God. Now, we naturally think we're the center of the universe. Rationally, we know different. But naturally, well, it just comes natural to think we're the center. But God made the universe. He is king. He is boss. We're here to serve God. God's not here to serve us. It's his breath in our lungs. Amen? Now, Christians have a word for everything I've just said. Sovereign. God is sovereign. Sovereign means God is boss. God is king. God speaks, we obey. And when we hold God's sovereignty alongside God's goodness, we have everything we need to keep praying Jesus' pattern of prayer no matter what life throws at us. You see, God is God. I am not. And that is good. Let's look at Jesus' pattern of prayer, and so we can see God's sovereignty oozing through it all. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is sovereign. Nothing takes him by surprise. His will is done every second of every day. We must trust and obey him. You'll often hear me quote Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God sits in the heavens and does all that he pleases. And brothers and sisters, all that God pleases is good. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you're a slow learner like me, I highly recommend you underline daily. Because God is sovereign and we're not, we need to grow comfortable with daily bread, which means tomorrow is uncertain. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us today our bread. You see, today's got enough worries, doesn't it? And so we know that our good Father will give us what we need to get through today. And then tomorrow's worries, leave them for tomorrow. God knows them, your Father knows them. You'll never get to know them until tomorrow. And so trust him tomorrow for that daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. A lot of our problems are relational. We're sinful and we rub up against everyday sinful people. Therefore, we need to grow in our understanding and practice of forgiveness. Brother, sister, friend, every time you choose to forgive someone, you're absorbing a debt, aren't you? That's why Jesus helpfully uses that word debt. Forgiveness is hard, and yet it's the Christian's posture. So important, Jesus actually elaborated on it. Verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is important. Tim Keller has been a huge gift to the global church. God's taken him back home again. But he's had a huge influence on Christianity in the last two decades. And I find it intriguing that someone as wise as him, one of the last books he wrote, if not his last book, was Forgiveness. If you want a good project for 2025, I recommend getting his book. It's either called Forgive or Forgiveness. Tim Keller, Forgive, put it in, you'll find the book. It's well worth a read. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptations and tests strike us daily. Christians are not surprised by the fact that life is hard. We expect hard. Jesus teaches us that the only thing we need to fear is to be led away from God into evil. Moses, thank you for leading us in prayer of repentance. And you are so clear. Father, help us turn from sin. Repent of sin. Temptations and tests, they're a reminder to lean into God and run away from evil. Temptations, tests, they're going to come. Martin Luther said hundreds of years ago, when you think about temptations, think about the bird flying over your head. You cannot stop a bird flying over your head, but you can stop it from nesting on your head. Right, so we are going to have daily temptations. And so the prayer daily, deliver us from temptation. And when we stuff up, Father, forgive me. I've done it again. Would you help me love you and your ways more than that stupid, evil thing that I did again? Brothers and sisters, Jesus has not left us with a magical incantation. Jesus has left us with a pattern for a praying life, a pattern that it encompasses trusting God. Our Father's in heaven. His will is being done. Of a pattern of asking God for things. Give us today our daily bread. A pattern of confessing and repenting. A pattern that is built on the glorious truth that God is God, we are not, and that is good. Now, we are surrounded by a culture that is increasingly maximized out on being hostile to the idea that God is the center, and the only way we will find our happiness is in obeying Him. We increasingly hear that the most important thing in life is you. For you, it's you. For me, it's me. And don't let anyone else tell you how to, you should live your life. You work it out yourself. And putting self at the center of the universe, it's just reached this bizarre stage where we're now told that we can determine our own gender. Now, if you're questioning gender yourself, we're glad that you're here with us. But I just want to put this example on the table of how bizarre our world has become when we put self at the center. Because it actually does get worse. Because we're told that children should be allowed to use drugs and hormones and surgery that do irreversible damage to their body. That's the bizarre world we live in now. And as evil as that is, it shouldn't surprise us, because for decades we've used the mantra, my body, my choice. But that's just a given now, isn't it? My body, my choice. You notice how God's extracted from everything? And we've used my body, my choice to justify the termination of millions of human babies. My body, my choice. And now we're patting ourselves on the back because at the stage of life where illness or age is a thing, we now say, well, voluntary assisted suicide. Bizarre, crazy. It's the world we live in. It's crazy, but it's not surprising. You see, what we're reaping is simply the outworking of a society that says, I am the center of the universe, not God. And as you try and hold your faith up in this crazy world, what you will hear is, what sort of God is that? What sort of God would restrict my freedoms? That sort of God is a despot. And so what they've done is held up God's sovereignty, stripped away his goodness, and said God is an evil dictator. And so remember this. Remember this. Your Father in heaven is sovereign and good. Yes, God is boss. He does get to tell us how to live. And he is good. And here's how we know that he is good. We are the ones who stuffed everything up. He is the one who sent his son to be sacrificed in his place. We're the ones who can go from cool and calm to ready to beat someone up just for getting cut off in the Coles line. Who experienced hundreds of generations of rebellion against him and lovingly sent his own son. Our God is good. Our God is very good. God's will was to send his son to die in our place. Now, you may or may not be able to get to the cross with your friend who is doubting God's goodness. But my purpose this morning is not to train you in evangelism. My purpose this morning is to convince you. Be bold. Your Father in heaven is not only sovereign, he is good. He's good in everything he does. Hallowed be his name. His will be done. God is God. I am not. And that is good. One way to remember that life-changing truth is to pray after the pattern that Jesus taught us to pray. Sure, memorize the prayer. I told you that I have. But never ever let the Lord's Prayer become background noise. Allow the Lord's Prayer to shape your muscle memory. The Lord's Prayer, rightly understood, helps us to remember and celebrate that God is the center of the universe. We're not. The Lord's Prayer, it's not a magical incantation. It's a pattern for prayer. Which brings us to our last point, the purpose of prayer. Do you remember prayer is talking to God? Prayer is talking to God. And so the purpose of prayer is to have a healthy conversation with God, which means the purpose of prayer is to get God. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Get God. What do I mean by that? Purpose of prayer is to get God. Well, you can call out for this one. Does God bless his children? 100%. Does God listen to the heartaches of his children? 100%. But prayer is so much more than uploading to-do lists to the heavenly complaint department. You see, prayer is communion with God. The purpose of prayer is not getting things from God. The purpose of prayer is communion with God. A simple definition, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is a conversation with your heavenly Father. God wants you to know that through prayer, you have his ear. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that what every child wants? Mom, Dad, are you listening? Have I got your attention? Stop looking at your phone. God is telling us in prayer, we have his ear. Surprise, there's not a few amens and rejoicings right now. Here's a quote from John Piper. It is not wrong to want God's gifts and ask for them. Most prayers in the Bible are for the gifts of God. But ultimately, every gift should be desired because it shows us and brings us more of him. When this world totally fails, the ground for joy remains. God, Therefore, surely every prayer for life and health and home and family and job and ministry in this world is secondary. And the great purpose of prayer is to ask that in and through all his gifts, God would be our joy. As we turn our thoughts to making the most of 2025, make sure you prioritize daily habits of reading so you hear from God and praying because you have his ear. You see, you and I, we long to get God. We long to taste and see that God is good. I'd said it wasn't so much about evangelism, but think about this. How wonderful would it be to say the next time your friend or family member asks you, how do you know God exists? And you just go, oh, I was just talking to him this morning. That's the praying life Jesus is teaching us. Over the last couple of weeks, John Hanlon has given us a couple of tips on setting up Bible reading plans for next year and the importance of Bible reading throughout the year in the weekly email updates. And you can actually grab a plan from the welcome desk if you don't have one. Let me give us a couple of tips gearing up for next year. The first one is read John's tips. take them up and make daily reading of God's word part of your life. Because what more do we want to hear in any given day than the words of our Father? We have them here. And so make daily Bible reading a habit of yours. And then, on the back end of that, you have his ear. Build out of your Bible reading into a prayer life. If this is all new to you, my recommendation is start with 5 minutes, not 5 hours. Don't read one of those biographies about some missionary that would be up at 3 a.m. praying for 3 hours before he took off. But start. 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 Hear from your Father and you have his ear. That's tip number one. My second tip to finish on real quickly is let your prayers be shaped by the ACTS acronym. ACTS. Christians have used this for so long, I can't even remember who first came up with it. Feel free to say Steve Kovitz did. It's been around for centuries. Phil actually sends it out to the prayer team. Shape your prayers up the front around adoration, confession, thankfulness, and sorry about the last one, supplications. ACTS is memorable because it's a book of the Bible, and so S is just supplicate, ask. Ask God for stuff. Bring your supplications to God. Think about this. I've been using this for decades. It's just muscle memory now for me to pray, dear God, you are wonderful. You are awesome. You created the heavens and the earth. You're amazing. You sent your son. You've given me your spirit. Dear God, I adore you. Start with adoration, prayers about who God is, leading into confession, like Moses taught us when he brought our collective sins before God. Brother, sister, you and I sin every single day. We have things to confess every day. Keep a short list and ask for the Spirit's help to turn from that and see the beauty of God's ways. And every day, God's mercies are new. Even if we are in prison for our faith, there will be something to thank God for. Make thankfulness and gratitude part of your daily habit. And then, supplicate for yourself and for your loved ones. And here's what the first three will actually set you up for as you ask God for things. You will be satisfied to pray at the end of each of your requests, but your will be done. Because I adore you, and I know that you are God and I am not, I really think I need this, but your will be done. ACTS is a great way to pray. Let's make 2025 a year of revival in prayer, individually, corporately. I'm going to pray. Phil, was there any questions? Okay. We're going to sing, and then there's a couple of questions. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.